So it is Alex and Samini all the way through until 12 o'clock today. Don't forget that Siobhan Live is coming up from 12. She'll be talking property, both legal and financial advice for you. And she's also getting into construction, and I believe she's buying herself some construction machinery. Hmm. Don't ask, just listen. keep the text messages coming through. 4001 is the SMS number. Nice message, actually, which is very true. Addiction is very relative. Our grandfathers became addicted to radio, and then we became addicted to television.
And now it's a cell phone, yeah. And it goes on to say, and now it's a cell phone. I'm personally addicted to Dubai Eye. Is this bad?
No.
It's not bad at all. That's not bad. See, whenever we talk about any kind of psychological disorder or a difficulty one may be experiencing emotionally, when does it become a problem? When it starts to interfere with your daily functioning. So does that issue now stand in the way of you being able to have functional and healthy relationships with family and friends? Does it interfere with your sleep and eating habits? Does it interfere with your perception of reality? Does it become dangerous and disruptive to your life? These are the kinds of the checklist, if you will, that we should go through before deciding whether something is dangerous or, you know, dysfunctional.
And that's something that you can do yourself, because I suppose if you're addicted to something, you may not be quite honest in your addictions.
Well, yeah, well, that's where family and friends come in to try to help out, maybe point it out to you. Again, it depends on what the addiction is. Addiction is an incredibly complex and broad topic. It needs to be looked at by clinical psychologists, professionals in the field who understand, you know, the symptoms, the prognosis, the diagnosis, to be able to be diagnosed properly so that your treatment and the strategies necessary to be able to combat that addiction is suitable. So it's a serious psychological situation.
With something like addiction to the internet, that or even the computer, that must be very difficult, because it's not like, as we said before, we do one thing on it. I mean, can you be addicted to, for instance, social media, but not addicted necessarily to the actual computer or the smartphone? Or
right, you see, it's mobile phones and the internet right now pose a very difficult situation for us, because to begin with, we are rewarded for using it, we are encouraged to use it, and not only that, in some cases professionally, we have to, so there isn't any other options associated with it. So here we've got this interesting paradox of having to be connected and having to use it, but yet if we misuse it and overuse it, it can result in an addiction. So contrary to other substances that we know are not good for us and that can result in addiction, we know that a certain amount of particular usage with mobile phones and other types of technology can actually be productive and effective and efficient. So where you draw the line in terms of how much you're using it and to what extent is very, very important. So we were talking about mobile phones, for example, before we went on a break. So some of the things that we should be conscientious about when we have this sort of nervousness about being connected, or we have issues about not being connected, to things that we should watch out for. So, for example, if you're continuously obsessing about the whereabouts of your mobile phone, if you're constantly checking for responses, if you're needing reassurance that it's on, people will actually start to panic and feel restless if out of reach. If there's an escalated sense of stress and inability to concentrate on anything else and feeling disoriented and disconnected, you know that this is not your average sort of relationship or connectivity that one has to a mobile phone. It's above and beyond what should be considered as normal. So, and it's amazing to think that mobile devices and smartphones have only really been mainstream for about 10 years now, that how quickly this has occurred and developed into this phenomenon.
And probably only the last couple of years really has the smartphone, the proper smartphone generation with lots of applications, really kind of move forward.
Yeah, and it's also the extent in which we have become reliant on these technologies. So, Alex, how many phone numbers have you memorized?
Now none, but before many.
Right? Yeah. So think about the new generation, for example, whereas if I was growing up, I knew my home number, my parents' work number, my friends' phone numbers. Oh, I knew them all off by heart. Mm. But now there are times when, you know, I'm interacting with someone and I ask them for their own mobile number, and they may not even have their own mobile number memorized. Yeah. So part of the anxiety results is there because we are so reliant on these phones for phone numbers, information, email addresses, notes, SMSs.
On the flip side, though, one of the things I noticed when they started, Nokia were the first company to bring out predictive text. Mm. Now, since that happened, my spelling has improved tenfold.
Oh, it has improved?
Oh, massively. Because if you're so wrong, it won't allow you to spell it.
Right. So you need to look for the right spelling.
Yeah. So now I'm spelling... My spelling is much better because predictive text really did muck up my entire world.
Well, that's great. Unfortunately, my experience with text typewriting, especially at university level in the classroom, we talked about this, right? So some students would answer questions in the final exam with text type language, you know, at and BTW, and by the way, and things like that. And, you know, you can't do that. Still, academia demands a certain type of writing, and we need to respect it.
I've noticed, actually, I don't write at anymore. I generally...
The at sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad, eh?
Well, again, it depends where it is that you're writing that. If it's on a formal application, perhaps, you know, that wouldn't be appropriate. But if it's with friends and things like that, certainly that's changed. Also, when you think about the way in which it's quite unsettling to be disconnected from family and friends, if we have to call them, if we have to reach someone, think about setting up appointments with people. I'm not sure how we did it before, but you tell someone, I'll be there at 4 o'clock, and if you're a little bit late, well, they waited, and if not, you know, you found a way to contact them or send a message somehow. But we panic, we get nervous if we don't have our phones with us and we're not able to send a particular message at that time.
And also, I think, you know, with the way things are now, because we don't even need the computer to communicate with people from afar. Mm-hmm. The majority of us who live in the UAE generally come from elsewhere and if not definitely have family all around the world.
Right.
So the fact that I went home for 2 weeks. I saw my parents for 2 days. It was too much. I'm quite happy to sit and speak to my family on Skype on a daily basis. I can see them, you know, I can see being at home, we have the same conversations. Far easier to switch off Skype and go and do my own thing than to sit there and go, oh no, I cannot switch my mother off.
Well, that's really interesting because even in relationships, we need to be careful because especially in the onset of a relationship, an intimate or romantic relationship, we might get very happy and excited about these fantastic texts that we receive from each other. Mm. But the texts that are sent should, to a large extent, kind of reflect the personality of that person in reality. Mm. So if you're getting these really nice, romantic, sort of intimate texts, but when you sit with the person and they're not able to communicate in the same manner, we become dependent on communicating through text rather than sharing these messages verbally. Mm. And it can create this sort of disconnect between virtual communication and communication in reality. And you don't want that. It shouldn't be dissociated. There should be at least some sort of connectivity between how you represent yourself online or the relationship that you have with someone online and what you have with them in reality.
Yeah, it's very difficult to understand people all the time when you're messaging. I never get any messages. Nobody sends me nice messages.
No,
4001.
But the number of misunderstandings that messages have caused, because you can't sense the tone, you're not sure about the emotions that are being conveyed, and you know, there are certain things, like some people just prefer to write in capital letters. It's not that they're shouting, but we could interpret them as you know, that person is shouting at me. What's going on?
I was told yesterday I was bossy. I wasn't even being bossy. And then it caused me to be bossy.
My goodness, yeah. I that would be the last adjective I would use for you, really? Alex. Yeah.
Bouncy maybe, but not bossy.
No, you're very accommodating.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm binning my phone.
What was it? Was it because you sent a message?
I sent a message saying, you've got to see this YouTube clip. And they said, can you send me the link? Of course, me being a non-native, I said, I don't really know how to send the link, but just put this in and you'll get to it. And obviously that came across as, yes, but put this in.
Right.
And so apparently I was being bossy.
Right, right.
Actually, I wasn't being bossy.
Yeah, yeah. Across cultures as well, you know, the way we write things. So I was working in Holland for a couple of years. And
you've been everywhere.
I've been a lot of different places, yeah. And there was this merger, and two companies that were merging. They were shipping companies. One was British and the other one was Dutch. And one of the main problems that they had was in terms of email communication between these two cultures, whereas the Dutch would send an email saying, Mark, hello, can you please send the documents? Thanks. And the English would say, you know, their emails are so abrupt, they're rude, they quickly get to the point. And the English would say, would you kindly, you know, please, when
you have time. I hope you're having a nice day, although I'm not actually interested whether you are or not.
And, you know, their Dutch colleagues would say, I don't have enough time to read all this. Just tell me what you want so we can work through all the words. But cultural differences of communicating,